Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled The Christian First Aid Kit was recorded at our 2010 Fort Worth Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
Unless we could be too hard on these disciples, you know what? We'd do the same thing. God says, by my stripes you're healed. And you say, oh God, please heal me. You know, if God could be confused, I believe God would be confused. I believe Jesus would look over and say, didn't I write that someplace in the Bible that by my stripes you were healed? Didn't I say that? Didn't I tell them? It's amazing. God says we're healed. God says we're blessed. God said we can do all things. God said no weapon formed against us will prosper. God said we are above only and not beneath, the head and not the tail. Anything you set your hand unto will prosper. You're blessed coming in. You're blessed going out. You'll be so prosperous you won't have to borrow. You'll lend unto many nations, but you'll never borrow. We've got all of these things said. And people say, oh, that's not true of me. I don't have this. I'm sick. I'm poor. Nothing's working for me. And we just sit there and counter it. That's exactly what Philip did. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Here's another thing to think about. He says, we will be satisfied if you'll show us the Father. So what he's saying is, Jesus, I'm not satisfied with you. But if I could see the Father, if I could see the heavens open up, if I could see some majestic manifestation of God's power, then I'd be satisfied. But I'm not satisfied with you. That's a strong statement. And you know what? When people have the word that says, by his stripes you're healed, and you say, well, I'm not satisfied with that. I've got to have the doctor confirm it. I've got to have this happen. I've got to have a goosebump. I want an angel to come and tell me that I'm healed. I'll have to have three prophecies. I've got to have two dogs walk and then one cat move the other direction. And if these things happen, then that's a confirmation that God has healed me. It's just like a slap in the face of Jesus. It's just like saying the word isn't enough. But if I could have this happen, if you will have Andrew Womack prophesy to me and say, in the name of Jesus, you're healed, then I'll believe that. The word's not enough. But if I could have something happen over here. You know, most of us wouldn't ever say those things, but really, this is what it amounts to. I'm sure that Philip didn't sit here and think, Jesus, I'm not satisfied with you, but that's exactly what he was saying. I'm not satisfied with what I see in you, but if you could show us the Father, if we could see God the Father standing on the throne or something in heaven, then we'd be satisfied, but I'm not satisfied with you. We need to think about that. God has given us this word. Jesus is the word. Jesus has given us these exceeding great and precious promises that by these we might be a partaker of the divine nature of God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1:4. God has given us all of these things, and they're powerful, and yet most people don't honor the word. The word says this. The doctor says this. The banker says this. Their emotions say this. And most of us are more moved by this. And we're just as guilty as these disciples saying, no, we aren't satisfied with you. We haven't seen. We need more. You don't need more than this word. Right. You know, again, let me just put a little parenthesis here. And I'm going to come back to this, what we're talking about. But when I first got turned on to the Lord, I was raised a Baptist. And I was told that God died with the apostles and that miracles didn't happen nowadays, that all you could do is get saved and then stuck and you go to heaven and that's when everything happens. But there was no such thing as angels speaking to you and the Holy Spirit speaking to you and miracles and stuff like this. We were told all that stuff didn't work today. And when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to experience the presence of God, and I got around people like Kenneth Hagin, who talked about that he had burning in his hands and an angel spoke to him and the Lord did things that were in the Word, and you could see that they were there. And when I found out that these things were still happening today, it was like I felt cheated. And I began to start praying and fasting and putting pressure on God. to have an angel come and speak to me and do things. And I was believing God, and I was grabbing hold of the horns of the altar and shaking it until God came out. I was going to start seeing supernatural things happen. Anyway, it's a long story, but the Lord spoke to me through a number of things. And one of them was John chapter 20, where Thomas was told by the other apostles that Jesus was resurrected from the dead and that they had seen him. But Thomas wasn't there. This is the same Thomas that said this up here about, Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know how to get there. And Thomas wasn't present when Jesus first appeared to the disciples. And so he says, unless I can see with my eyes the print of the nails, unless I can put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And 8 days later, Jesus appeared, and this time Thomas was present. And he walked right up to Thomas and he said, Thomas, put your finger into the print of the nails and put your hand into my side and don't be faithless, but believing. And Thomas just fell on his face and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto Thomas, he said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believed. Yes. Yea, rather, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus said there was a greater blessing on those who would take the word and believe than those who have to have something physical, tangible to prove it to them. And when I saw that, I immediately X'd out all those previous prayers. I said, God, I'll take anything. If you want to send an angel, I'll receive anything you've got. But from now on, your word is enough. I want to operate in the highest. I want to operate in the greatest blessing of God. I don't want to have to have you come down to some lower level and give me just an emotional thing. I'd rather walk in faith. Faith is what pleases God. And it changed my whole approach to God. And brothers and sisters, the sad fact is most Christians are not taking the word and believing it. God is saying that all of these great things that I've just quoted, and yet we sit here and say, well, it's not true in my life, and this doesn't work, and I'm not blessed, and I'm not prosperous, and I'm not healed. And we go by our own reasoning. We go by all of these physical, tangible things. It would do us well to just say, Father, I believe your word. I've got these things. You begin to confess the word and believe it. And the spiritual realm is stronger than the physical realm. The spiritual realm created the physical realm. The spiritual realm will trump and dominate the physical realm if you'll just mix it with faith. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 says, the word preached unto them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You've got to mix the word with faith. The word won't set you free by yourself. It's got to be mixed with faith. You've got to believe it for it to release its power. The truth doesn't set you free. It's the truth you know that sets you free. You have to experience it. It has to become reality to you. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so we've got to get to where we exalt God's word over your own feelings and over your own reasonings. And so Jesus had just told them, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and it'll satisfy us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you and hast thou not known me? Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. You know what Jesus was trying to say is, Philip, you don't know me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've experienced me, you've experienced the Father. But you know, this is something I just pray that the Holy Spirit helps you to understand, because I struggled with this for a long time. And again, this is one of those things that you have to receive by revelation. I can't argue you into this. This defies logic, human logic, but it makes perfect spiritual sense. But Jesus was not just who he was in his physical body. His physical body was like his earth suit that allowed him to get around in this earth. And it was sinless and it was pure, but the scripture says that there wasn't any beauty in it. In Isaiah chapter 52, that when we see him, there is no beauty. There is no comeliness that he should be desired. Jesus was not a desirable person. What it says in Isaiah chapter 53, I believe it's verse 2. That there is no comeliness, no beauty that he should be desired. Jesus was not a pretty person. I don't believe he was necessarily ugly. But he was just normal. You know, some people are going to be offended by the things I say right here because they just have this romanticized impression and they're removed from the facts and they just have envisioned Jesus however they want to envision him. But the scripture reports that there was nothing in Jesus that looked supernatural. You know, if I would have been God becoming a man, I'd have been the best specimen of manhood that this world had ever seen. I'd make Arnold Schwarzenegger look puny compared to me. Man, I'd have been tall. I'd have been big. I'd have been one hunk. I'd have been good looking. I'd have done all of these things. But Jesus came and became like we were. There was nothing special about him. Jesus was not a pretty person. He wasn't one of those people that we desire. There may be some of you that don't feel very special and you feel like people have passed you over and that you've never been one of those that other people admire. Jesus went through all of that. Jesus was God in the flesh. He would walk down the street and see people that he created. And they didn't even acknowledge him. They didn't even know that they were walking down the street with their creator. Can you imagine what that would have been like to have been the God of the creation and looking at people and people don't even recognize who you are? There was nothing special about you. When you looked at Jesus' body, there was nothing special. And his disciples, I believe it was really hard for the disciples to really believe that he was God because he was just so human. And again, I hope this doesn't offend you, but you know, it was a shock to me when I realized some of these things that I'm saying to you.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled The Christian First Aid Kit. This 6-part series was recorded at our 2010 Fort Worth Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1070C for CD or R3213D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RSK-19C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to become a part of what God is doing here in Colorado Springs. This is where we're training our Bible college students, and they are literally going around the world. I'm convinced that this is how God has ordained that we change the body of Christ, is through discipleship, and that's what we're doing. We're building a headquarters where we can have a campus with 3,000 students. And to do that, it just takes a lot of money. God has supplied us with a beautiful acreage in Woodland Park that we're calling the Sanctuary. And we're calling the people who help us accomplish this project and raise up a first-class Bible college campus, our foundation builders. I ask you to pray about it and then call and become a foundation builder today. So